I'm Danica Juarez.
And I'm Jan James.
And this is
How's It Hold Up?
Hi, I'm Danica.
And I'm Jan.
And I'm Valerie.
And today we watched two live-action Jungle Book movies, neither of which is the 2016 live-action remake. No, these are both from the 90s. The first one that we watched is The Jungle Book from 1994, a theatrically released film. And the other is The Jungle Book : Mowgli Story from 1998, a direct-to-video film. And, you know, those two things are pretty different. Those two markets are different.
And
I'll also say The Jungle Book... All of the Jungle Book ones we're watching is Disney.
Okay.
The first one we watched is also like for, it's rated PG. So, you know, it's not as targeted towards kids. Whereas the Mowgli story is very much targeted towards kids. Who would like to give a brief spoiler-free plot synopsis for The Jungle Book 1994?
I can.
Go for it.
Okay. So, in The Jungle Book 1994, we start with Mowgli and his dad on a journey, on a trip with a British officer, her daughter, and it's a whole caravan. We hear a bit about the daughter and Mowgli, how they were fast friends, that both of their mothers died in childbirth. There is a disturbance because Shere Khan is pursuing three men. Two officers.
I'm not sure.
At least one of the Indians in the caravan, and I think they're two British guys.
Maybe. I'm not 100% sure.
But so Mowgli, five or something?
I think they literally mentioned that he's five at some point.
He like calms down the elephant that the head soldier guy is on. It shows he has like an aptitude with animals. There's a little exchange between the daughter and Mowgli, and she gives him a bracelet, which is important. Later on in the camp, Shere Khan pursues the men that he originally pursued, kills two of them, but one man is alive because the father is Mowgli's father protects him at the expense of his own life. So Mowgli's dad dies facing Shere Khan.
The cart catches fire and he gets lost in the jungle, basically.
Yeah, there's some kind of goofy things. So Mowgli was in a cart. It caught fire. There were horses attached to it. It ran off. He fell off in a log, slid down. So he landed in the jungle as a child. Yeah, so he slid down, landed in the wolves, and then it gets kind of familiar. Bagheera leads him to the wolves. He grows up in the jungle with Bagheera, all of them. So where it kind of differs from the usual story is he grows up in the wolves. You see him meet King Louie. There is a dagger that he picks up that's gold and jewel adorned. He later meets the girl again. This is some years later, like at least a decade, probably, hopefully.
They seem like adults.
Yeah, yeah. So he meets the daughter, her name is Kitty, again, older, and he tries to use a move that he saw his dad use, giving her a flower, then trying to get a kiss. But he was young, so he's just repeating it. So he saves her, quote-unquote saves her from Baloo. He fights his bear friend, and we can tell it's in jest to impress her, and she, you know, is scared. So she runs away after he fights the bear. She gets back. He goes back to the thing and pursues her, and then it's like a Tarzan thing where she tries to teach him English, teach him to speak. Also, she is with one of the British officers. He sucks. He sees the dagger. So we're going to get back to the temple with the gold. I don't know. It's a good story. It's layered. It's got a few things.
And then the other one is Mowgli gets lost from his parents. It's unclear if they die, and then is raised by animals. And they all talk without moving their mouths because this is a movie for babies. And Shere Khan wants to kill him and tries to use underhanded ways to separate him from his family. And also he has a hard time fitting in with all the wolves because some of them think he doesn't belong. And it's basically that kind of thing for like over an hour. It's too much of that. What do we think of these movies?
Well, there's absolutely no comparison. The first movie is great. I can already say that I recommend it. The second one was so... I don't know why we watched it. It was so bad. It was so bad, everybody.
We're trying to cover of our Disney Jungle Book movie bases.
The writers should have had their writing cards revoked, or they were their intern that wrote it. It was so bad. So bad.
Yeah. So, yes, the first one I remember seeing when I was young, but I mostly remember more visual stuff. But no, it was enjoyable. It was good. It did something different. The second one was for kids, so everything was very explained, over-explained, evident. It was no depth. It reminded me of... weird pull, but the Digimon dub, like the comments were so out of this, just out of left pocket of like
just
what
like
was said.
Bad ad lib comedy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And with, I do have some questions about what society or they have built up there, but I think the main point in watching both for me is the comparison of how they handle the animals talking or not and how Mowgli interacts with them. First one did it in a much better way than the second one did, where he can talk to them and they talk to him and it's all understood. They kind of acknowledge it with like he has to learn to understand, but then it's all English and whatever. It was cheesy and weird.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see. One of the only things I know about the 2016 one is that they do talk to him, and almost all of them are like CGI creations.
Yeah, so.
But it's still going for a much more realistic and I think foreboding tone than obviously this 1998 Mowgli story is going for. So I'm very curious to see. We'll have three different iterations of doing it live action, some with them talking, some with them not. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I think the CG remake, I'm curious to see. I expect it to be a blending of both. But yes, first one's great. I definitely recommend it. Second one, I barely want to talk about it story-wise, but just in comparison to the first one.
Yeah, I definitely really enjoyed the first one. I don't think I'd ever seen it before. Mowgli story, don't watch it. I'm going to tell you right now, we will have a spoiler section, but it's only for the 1994 one. We're just going to talk however much we talk about Mowgli story, and you're going to have to be okay with that. Look, don't watch it.
Yeah.
Don't go watch it.
You will not be missing
anything. We are doing you a service talking at all to you about it so that you never have to experience it yourself.
Yeah, it's probably fine for kids, but it'll be torture for adults, so yeah,
and
watch it.
Unfortunately, Mowgli story is the really easy to access one because it's just on Disney Plus. Unfortunately, the 1994 Jungle Book's a bit harder. You're gonna have to buy or rent it on like YouTube or Amazon or something like that. There doesn't seem to be any site where it's just streaming. It's a rent or purchase sort of deal. I think it's worth it. Let's get specific. So the only fun facts, almost all of my fun facts are for the 1994 one. Sorry. But my first is that this would be the start of Disney live action remakes of Disney animated feature films, with 1996's 101 Dalmatians starring Glenn Close being the next one.
Sure.
So we have this to blame for all the evils.
Oh, no.
No, not really. No. I think the 90s were, I haven't rewatched the 101 Dalmatians in
the
a long time.
The philosophy was different.
But what I basically remember of it is that it's like Home Alone, but with dogs. And so that's different than the animated one. And likewise, because this 1994 version of Jungle Book is drastically different from the animated movie. And like, yeah, that's the way to do it.
No.
No, this is very different from the era that we are familiar with, where it's basically like carbon copies of the original, but worse. What we actually have to thank for that era is the bad Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland movies, which were also not just pure remakes, but they did kind of start that whole era. And we'll talk about that when we watch Alice in Wonderland. Today we're talking about this, and let me tell you a little bit about the production of it. Disney chairman Jeffrey Katzenberg originally assigned Ronald Yonver and Mark Geldman to write this project. Dissatisfied with the scripts, however, one of which was 180 pages long with no dialogue for the first 70 pages. So then he handed the project over to Stephen Sommers, who had written the Adventures of Huck Finn movie that Katzenberg liked. So he's like, here, you do it.
Is that the one with Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
I believe so. Okay. Sommers, who is a huge fan of the original animated film and various jungle adventure films, was eager to do a lush romantic adventure and to show the beauty of the jungle. Executives were stunned by Sommers' decisions for the project, as some were expecting an exact recreation of the original animated film, and others wanted a teen romance to be the main focus. It's neither of those things. As far as casting, Sommers and his crew did try to cast actors in India, but due to Bollywood guidelines, their schedules and limits on the number of films they could work on restricted their involvement. However, they were able to cast Stefan Khalifa and Anirudh Agarwal before they agreed to any Bollywood productions. So they got like two Bollywood actors, but not as many as they were perhaps hoping for. I don't have any fun facts for the other one. Sorry. Let's talk about the story and characters of these movies. Let's start with the bad one so that we can just get it out the way.
Okay.
Mom and Valerie immediately not on board with the talking animals. Bagheera was a girl. Interesting choice.
Eartha Kitt was great.
Yes, Eartha Kitt was great. There was some voice talent in the second one, all put to horrible use, unfortunately. Some quotes. It was like, wow, welcome to the food chain.
I say
we call him Poo Poo Pee Pee. And I was like, okay, that one did make us laugh. And it made us laugh again now. It is funny.
It was a funny flip on the wolves finding a human as a first kind of pet, but then family.
Mm-hmm.
And so the daughter was like, let's name him Poo Poo Pee Pee.
Yeah.
That was funny.
It was funny. It's, you know, it's, yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
Valerie said, your religious aunt about Bagheera, which is funny.
She was just telling a story or whatever.
The jokes and maybe ad libs, it feels like a lot of its ad libs are really bad in this movie.
Oh my gosh.
The wolves were being creepy at one point, like wolf whistling. I didn't like that.
Yeah.
Shere Khan has a sidekick who I'll talk more about in a bit. And at one point, Shere Khan said, revenge is a dish best served cold. And then he was like, revenge is ice cream. That's the caliber of jokes we're working with here. There was a Catwoman joke where Baloo referred to Bagheera as Catwoman and like Eartha Kitt's playing her. So that's a little funny. I liked when Mowgli was talking to a picture he found in a hut that he was locked in. And he was like, hello, how did you get in there?
Yeah, that was funny.
The bear both of these movies had a bear necessities joke, and both of the jokes were terrible, but it was worse in the second one. It was, next time I jump into a hut, remind me to cover the bear necessities. I don't need to think about that, Baloo. Don't say that to me. Shere Khan did actually kill Mowgli's mom in this, though, his wolf mom. That's a bummer. But then when he cried about it, that scene paled Mowgli, in comparison. Yeah. When Mowgli cried about it, that scene paled in comparison to a crying scene from the first movie. It was really a bad comparison watching this after.
Yeah.
At one point, Mowgli pulled out an illustration of a tiger, and Shere Khan gasped and said, "That's me," and that was very funny to me.
Which is the, you know, a symptom of it being for kids, where they're like, "You can't. We don't think you can handle the visual metaphor, so the tiger needs to say, that's me."
That's me. And then also, towards the end, one of the last lines is, must be some kind of jungle book, huh? About a book that he has. It's bad.
Okay. So, one big question I have. In the beginning of the Mowgli story, they have, like, a Oh, sorry. They have like a house meeting with all the animals about like, okay, we don't hunt near the water hole. And I'm like, Shere Khan could kill any one of you. Like, this isn't, it's weird. They're trying to do a circle of life sitch, but it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I will say as well that Mowgli, that the kid actor, generally does a good job.
Brandon Baker, before Johnny he Tsunami. Was Johnny in Johnny Tsunami.
He does a good job, like, acting against the animals.
He's doing his best.
Yeah, like, I'm sure somebody's reading him the line off on the screen or whatever, but his response and all of that is good.
His crying scene, not crying, so much, but yeah. It's okay.
We
forgive you, and he's young. He'll. I'm sure he acts better in Johnny Tsunami. I haven't seen it in forever. In addition to him, yeah, we mentioned Eartha Kitt. Mom really didn't like Brian Doyle Murray as Baloo. Ugh. Who else do we have?
Catherine
in here?
And Jimmy is a vulture named Chill.
Yeah. And Akela, the wolf leader, is Clancy Brown. Loved hearing his voice. He didn't get a whole lot to do, but you know, loved to hear him.
Mowgli's sister is voice actress who played Darla Dimple.
Yes.
The teen one.
Who Valerie found out.
Yeah, so I was looking to see what other role she did, and she was additional voices on, like, some games and shows, and I was like, it's too bad she hasn't done any characters. But it turns out that she does the screams for these shows and games, and like, oh, that's cool. So she'll, record people's even probably regular actors, not just games or cartoons, record their screams of grief, of anger, of fear. And that's pretty cool.
Also, Frank Welker's in here as a porcupine, bad baboon, deer, mandrill, special vocal effects, and additional voices.
Sure.
We have Nancy Cartwright is a wolf pup, a doe, a macaw, a skunk, and a chimp.
Okay.
And Dee Bradley Baker is an elephant, bee, mandrill, and turtle. Dee Bradley Baker is a really well-known voice actor, and is also, perhaps most notably to me personally, all of the clones in Clone Wars.
Goodness.
Which is like a great acting role to play a whole bunch of characters that sound exactly the same, yet differentiate their personalities. He's good.
Yeah.
Not in this. Because none of them are, like, great in this, because they have really bad lines that they have to say, but that's fine.
The reason this was so bad, so, so bad, is because the dialogue, the lines, they were horrible. Just, it was so poorly written. And, you know, they had this group of monkeys, and the jokes they would make, and the animals around the watering hole, and again, it was just so bad. It was, oh my gosh, so bad. I can't even, saying it was so bad feels like I'm understating. It's just, oh.
Is there anything else about the story, characters, or voice acting for that movie we want to talk about?
Not really. I don't think specifically. Like I said, it's a useful comparison for certain things.
And I will go down as saying I did not like the way they handled it. I did not like hearing these animals talk and these voices without any movement.
It's very cheap. Yeah.
It was.
Ugh. The animals talk, but their mouths don't move. You just hear people talking over animal footage. It's very cheap. It's in a bunch of cheap kit stuff. Let's talk about the movie we liked.
Yes.
I liked seeing Mowgli before he lives in the jungle. It's kind of neat.
He's a darling, darling, darling little boy.
Mom was so distraught that his dad died.
I know.
She was like, she was in it. She was really upset.
I liked the dad. And I liked their interactions. He was
really sad. It wasn't mentioned in the summary, but Baloo, we actually meet as a young bear cub.
Yes.
And Valerie referred to him as Winnie the Pooh. I mean, I'll bleep it.
Because he got his head stuck in the hole of a log.
Yes,
and Mowgli
yes.
had to pull him out. And I'm like, Winnie the Pooh would do this.
And then we had a time skip forward from little Mowgli. And Mom was like, oh, when she saw grown up Mowgli, she said, he's a nice looking man. that man is Jason Scott Lee. who has played a couple other roles that we know, such as David from Lilo and Stitch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And the main villain from the 2020 live-action Mulan that we all watched together.
Ooh, yes, okay. Yes.
I didn't place that, but then I looked at a picture and I was like, yeah, that is him older. All right.
Oh, wow.
Jason Scott Lee was director Summers' only choice for Mowgli, but Disney executives labeled him as too old for the role until Summers managed to convince them that Jason Scott Lee would be a much more believable leading man than an unknown teenager. He was also cast because the animals reacted to him the best.
Aww. Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. And yeah. I think one of my notes is literally just, I really love Jason Scott Lee in this. Why have I not seen him in more things?
Yeah.
He's really endearing. He does a great job.
Yes. And, you know, while we're talking, very well written, very believable story. You know, not that it was perfect, but I just mean, for the most part.
I would say it's probably a little overlong, but I was having a good time the whole time. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, it was a long movie, but it was doing a few things.
Yeah.
They had a scene that was felt like it was used in Tarzan where they're teaching him.
Yeah, the projector.
English and all of that and having him name things.
I'm genuinely curious how much this movie influenced Tarzan because this came out in 1994 and Tarzan comes out in 1999. Like, it's possible because animated movies do have a long time period of being made, but it's possible that it wasn't even in production yet by the time filming and stuff and the release of this movie. So it does feel like it could have influenced it some.
Right. I guess my question is, are there obvious influences from something else to this that maybe they share an influence? But there was big Tarzan energy whenever they were trying to teach him English.
Definitely.
I felt like George of the Jungle, too.
When Mowgli got scared by the mirror and smacked it and it hit John Cleese in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, it's lots of comedy, but not over the top.
Yeah.
Well, some of it is, like, that was fairly over the top. And also one of our scenes that we all laughed out loud was Mowgli mimicking William when, like, William's the guy who Cary Elwes plays, who's, like, the not very good romantic interest for Kitty. And at one point, he comes in and all three of them sit on, like, couches and chairs, and Mowgli and William are across from each other, and Mowgli just, like, mimics his body posture and, like, how his legs are held, and then he, like, moves his leg, and Mowgli moves it exactly this. It was stupid, but really funny.
Yes.
It was great.
Yes. And yeah, the Tarzan vibes as far as trying to, because I think they even called him savage or something, you know, but trying to civilize.
Did the live action Tarzan movies come out? Because there was a live action Tarzan movie, wasn't there?
I believe so, yes.
Did that
yes.
come out before the 1991 one? I don't know. It feels like it might have. But yeah, I mean, it's the story of a guy who lived in the jungle and doesn't know, like, English society, you know, learning it. So, like, it's going to share aspects with other things.
For sure.
I really liked that Mowgli purred at one point when Kitty touched his hand. Like, literally just purred. I also liked all the, there's multiple Indian guys when Mowgli's, like, running through the town or whatever, trying to escape some British guys that, like, act in solidarity with Mowgli, like, try to trip up the British guys, and I'm like, good.
For example, like, throwing out some, you know, I don't know, small round fruit to trip them up. And then the one I love the most is some guy was playing an instrument to make a rope go up.
Yeah.
And then people were climbing the rope and Mowgli climbed the rope and one of the British officers went up after him. But once Mowgli was safely up on the roof, one of the guys signaled to the guy playing and he stopped playing. And then, of course, the rope fell and the British officer fell.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Also, it must be said that Cary Elwes is very good at being absolutely charming and wonderful as seen in Princess Bride, but he's also really good at being an absolute heel.
Yes.
And he plays both exactly the same way in some instances. Like, But it's just so different when you're like, this character sucks, though.
Yes, because he plays such a nonchalant, immoral guy.
Yeah.
And so he still kind of has that charm, but it's like, oh, man, I hate this guy. Yeah.
I also, like, you know, there's a lot of broad comedy here with the whole, like, guy lived in the jungle, now he's learning how to speak English and stuff like that. But it also, it really does cut kind of to the themes here. And one of my favorite scenes is where Mowgli and William are, like, talking, and Mowgli literally doesn't understand the English word enemy. Like, that's used, and he doesn't know what that means, and he also doesn't know what hate means.
Well, yeah, because
they didn't have reason, because they didn't have reason to explain it to him when they're teaching him words, you know, but, like, and he doesn't, those aren't concepts he has in the jungle. Like, him and King Louie, who I don't think is ever named, but it's clearly King Louie, because he is an orangutan, and he puts a crown on at one point, at multiple points.
Mowgli calls him that after, he sees a picture of King Louie.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, they clearly have a beef, but they're not enemies. They don't hate each other, you know? Like, that's not the law of the jungle. That's not how it works out there. And then Mowgli, like, steps into the room that has a bunch of, like, heads mounted on the wall of different animals, and he's, like, horrified, and he has this kind of, like, if this is what being a man is, I don't want to be a man. I want to be an animal, you know? Which is...
yeah.
Fascinating. I like it a lot.
Yeah, there were a lot of really good, powerful scenes. You know, also, along with so much of the amazing landscape and things that we will discuss later when we talk about, you know, cinematography and so forth. But what was so powerful to me was also some of the real messages about really how corrupt and immoral, like, some of the decisions in colonization, or, you know, or the, you know, these British officers, you know, the impact they have on, you know, on the jungle and even how they treat or view the native peoples that live there.
Yeah, they refer to Mowgli a lot as a savage and stuff. They are the British officers are the ones that are living in the palace that they presumably did not create, while, you know, all of the brown people are, like, living in the village. They don't get to be there. Like, it's not a movie that's, like, I guess explicitly, like, colonialism is bad, but it definitely feels like it's critical of the British people here in India. You know, it's not necessarily like, this is the worst and never should have happened. There might be some manner of glorification. We do have her dad, who's kind of the leader, and he's flawed, but he is ultimately, like, a character we're supposed to like.
Right.
And, you know, obviously she's also British. So, you know, it's not just completely against them, but it's definitely, like, critical of them, and critical of them approaching the jungle and such without a respect for nature. So yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not someone from India, so I can't truly speak to exactly how this would be taken there, this movie, how good it is on any of this stuff. But it seemed decent, at least to me. It at least seems to have a foot in the right direction, you know?
Well, and the theme, and I don't even know if I'm getting this quite right as far as the law of the jungle, is that basically you don't kill just to kill, or kill for greed.
You kill to eat, or to prevent from being eaten.
Correct. And so what I liked is, without it being preachy or whatever, I just feel like the character that of Mowgli and the character that he portrayed did really resonate and really showed, instead of just, you know, telling with that theme. And I don't know, I just thought it was really powerful.
And then stuff gets real towards the end. Baloo comes to the rescue, but then gets shot.
I know!
And we're like, no, God. Baloo! And then Mowgli, like, upset, cries over him, and then has, like, a moment of sad boy running through the jungle while dramatic music plays, and I'm here over here feeling my emotions.
Yeah.
I'm in it.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, we'll have a spoiler section, but the end of this movie is basically the villains being slowly killed one by one, and it's great.
It is. I mean, you don't expect them
they just slowly get picked off. The ones that we'll talk about outside the spoiler section, one falls into quicksand and it doesn't manage to be rescued in time and dies.
What is the guy with the? I want to keep wanting to say Wilson. No, what's the guy's
Wilkins.
Name?
Wilkins.
Wilkins. And the guy that's dying, which you don't have any empathy for because he's horrible in the quicksand. It's like, damn you, Wilkins, or something.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of, like, no one's, even the guys that he's working with don't seem to like Wilkins very much. Yeah. This is very funny. And then there's Baldeo is the guy who kind of, the one who got away from being killed by Shere Khan at the very beginning. And so he's working with the bad guys. And then there's another Indian guy whose name is Tabaki. I don't remember if it's said, but he tries to attack Mowgli up on a cliff at one point and predictably like gets tossed off the cliff and dies. And then Wilkins, Shere Khan gets him.
Yeah.
But after he, in his panic about Shere Khan, accidentally shoots Baldeo in the leg.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which doesn't kill Baldeo, but he sure isn't appreciative.
He's like, I'm going to kill you or something. Or, you know, yeah.
About the Lieutenant John Wilkins, he's played by Jason Fleming. And this was actually that actor's film debut.
Oh, wow.
His role grew after the director instantly bonded with him. So I think that's like, I think we got so much of him and like this running gag of people hating him and stuff because the director was so enamored with him.
That's funny.
And I mean, yeah, he does a great job of being like this pathetic, detestable man. It's good.
Yeah, and it, like I said, even that scene with Shere Khan, I mean, he is like, he had just shot the other guy. He turns around I'm like, Shere Khan's going to be behind him. Shere Khan's going to be behind him. And so, not only does he face Shere Khan, but he's just like sweating bullets. But then he takes off running, and I mean, he's running and running. And, but of course, dumbly, he keeps turning around to look behind. It's like, don't slow yourself up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, guys. But yeah, then you see him. Shere Khan, of course, leaps and takes him out. But so yeah, you just don't expect that. And that was pretty interesting. Backing up a little bit too, William, who wants to get engaged to the daughter,
but more than that, wants the treasure.
Yeah, wants the treasure. I mean, he has so many layers. It does really well because, you know, you think he's this, or her father seems to think he's this great officer.
It's pretty obvious to us from the moment we meet him that he sucks.
Yes,
but
because he literally wanted, when he first meets Mowgli in the jungle, who is really not hurting him, he thinks that Williams is hurting Kitty, and they have a fight. But it's not like it was this major fight. But Williams is like all trying to get his men to shoot Mowgli. I mean, who was obviously not a threat. It's, you know, it's not like he has, you just know he's a despicable person, but yeah.
Yeah. Also, I mentioned Tabaki earlier, and that is a character name that's in both of these movies. Mm-hmm. In the bad one from Mowgli's story, Tabaki is a hyena and a henchman to Shere Khan. And he's kind of still a henchman in the 94 one, but he's human. And interestingly, Tabaki is a character from the Kipling stories, but in that, he's a golden jackal, not a hyena, but he does serve as Shere Khan's henchman. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say he's less annoying in Kipling stories, but I don't know. I haven't read them. Also, Dr. Julius Plumford is, of course, played by John Cleese. And the role was always written for John Cleese, but Summers was discouraged that Cleese would never accept it. But Cleese agreed to the role after he received the script and fell in love with it. I'll just have a short note here as a trans person that I have a hard time with John Cleese nowadays, and I wish he didn't make me feel that way, because he's a fun actor to watch, but I wish he didn't hate me personally.
What is the name of the actor that was also in Jurassic Park that played
Sam
the father?
Sam Neill.
Yeah, it was fun having him play the father. And yeah. In fact, when William and his crew, whatever, their plot is basically they want Mowgli to lead him to the City of Gold. And Mowgli, of course, is told him absolutely no. And Mowgli leaves, too, because he realizes, I don't want to be a part of this society. And he goes, but to do that, when Kitty is leaving to go back to England, basically they arrange to have her kidnapped so that Mowgli will come to rescue her. But the father is with her. And so he's just all fine with the dad dying. And the dad does get shot in the scuffle and injured. But anyway, one of the most interesting things to me is when they take off, you know, with Kitty and to go into, you know, and leave the father. He's literally like doing almost like a commando crawl on the jungle floor. And, you know, then you, of course you hear Shere Khan, you know, or
you hear some kind of speech, or
you hear animal sounds. But Mowgli ultimately rescues him, gets him on an elephant, gets him back where he needs to be. But yeah, just really interesting stuff with that.
I need to call out the good boys and girls who played the trained animals in this movie.
Yeah.
We have Baloo is portrayed by Casey, the trained bear. Who, and also KNBFX group crew member Shannon Shea doubled for Baloo in certain shots as in an animatronic bear suit. We have Bagheera played by Shadow, the trained panther. Shere Khan is Bombay, the trained tiger. Gray Brother is played by Shannon, the trained Indian wolf. And King Louie is played by Lowell, the trained orangutan. He was the only animal to play his character all the way through, and according to Summers, was the easiest and most entertaining animal to work with.
The thing that I liked with the monkey scenes is whenever you first see them, they're all the monkeys are above and Mowgli is in a pit, and it's like a fighting pit. Like, these guys just want to laugh at sport of things fighting.
Fully.
And their gold pit.
Fully. Like,
that's what's up. That's silly.
Do you guys want to talk about the filmmaking?
Yes.
My notes here are that Ka, who does show up in this movie, is portrayed by both a CGI and an animatronic python, as well as a trained green anaconda. The CGI does look bad. It was okay the first time because it didn't linger on the shot too long, but there's a second time that the up-close CGI shot of Ka's face is there, and it lingers way too long. Probably the worst effect in terms of how it holds up. Filming in Jodhpur in India took 8 weeks and included scenes with rhesus macaques and Asian elephants. Indoor scenes like the Lost Treasure City set were shot on sound stages in Bombay. The jungles in India did not have the exact rainforest look envisioned by the filmmakers, so the jungle scenes were mostly shot in Fripp Island, South Carolina, scenes featuring Bagheera and Shere Khan, as well as Ozone Falls State Natural Area and Fall Creek Falls State Park in Tennessee, scenes featuring Baloo and the wolf pack. Scenes featuring Lowell were shot in a Los Angeles studio against a blue screen due to the production not being able to bring him to India. And I would say overall, the compositing effects are decent. There's definitely a lot of times where I can like tell that it's a compositing effect where someone's in front of like a green screen and not actually in the background that they're in. Honestly, I don't mind. It kind of is vibes of like the Star Wars special editions for me, and I grew up on those, so like, you know, it's fine. It's charming to me, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I think it has a charm. If you really dislike it, then this might not be the film for you. If you're like,
if you get real hung up on that,
yeah.
But there's some cool effects too. Like, I really like the creepy Ka under the treasure, and they had the treasure like move underneath. That was cool. Like,
yeah, there's some silly ones. Whenever Mowgli's a kid, Bagheera takes him to the wolves, and there's like a stuffed tail that they put in frame with the child to kind of hold on to and pull on, and it's obviously fake, but
yeah,
it has a charm.
Definitely.
Yeah, I will say in comparison between the two films, the difference is very obvious.
Oh, it's stark.
It's, yeah.
The budgets of them are clearly drastically different.
Yes.
I would say that the Summers, I think the director, he part of his goal was to show the beauty of the jungle. I think he did a good job.
I think so too. It was beautiful. I also think the costuming was beautiful. The wherever they shot the that was supposed to be the town and the palace they were. That was gorgeous. Even like the tents and their camps and the tent scenes and all, just really neat. Neat vibes, and I just think beautifully done.
And there's a decent amount of like some action scenes of like running through places or fighting and stuff like that. That all felt shot really well. I don't know. It felt like a movie, like a movie. You know, it was just fun to watch.
Even the temple, I also really liked. Yeah. The temple
that King Louis and such are in, like the main. Part of it is clearly the outside part of it is clearly like a composite shot and probably a matte painting, but I like looking at matte paintings, so I'm not bothered. I think it looks cool. What did you guys think about the music? I thought that in the Mowgli story, that stupid song that played while Mowgli followed the monkeys was terrible.
That was horrible.
And in general, the music in Mowgli's story sounds like the music I would hear in a late 90s PC game set in the Amazon rainforest.
Yeah.
So thanks, Robert Folk, for that, I guess.
It felt like it was alluding to a lot of stuff, was very simple, was very...
I think Robert Folk is kind of like, I think he's done a lot of like Disney animated sequels and stuff too. I think he's kind of like the composer Disney uses for their cheaper efforts.
Yeah.
Which isn't to say he's bad, but like he's the cheap one that they get to do cheap music. And then Basil Poledouris was the composer for... the 1994 Jungle Book, and I think it sounds good. It's not like I want to go download it and listen to it, but it suited the movie just fine. The music hit when he was dramatically crying and running through the forest, so did what it needed to.
Mm-hmm. The first film seemed fine. I'm not thinking of anything. I think the only thing that stood out to me was the waltz dancing, the second song.
Yeah, there was a piece of classical music that was like, we all know it, that was used like at least twice. And I was like, I know this song.
Yeah. But otherwise, I think the sound was good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go on to the part that our podcast is named after. How's it hold up? Time for me to rag a bit more on Mowgli's story. At one point, Shere Khan said, I have a craving for Indian food. And I said, stop it.
Yeah.
He just keeps making Indian jokes and it's not funny. Stop it.
Yeah, it's really upsetting, honestly.
There was a chewing tobacco joke, which doesn't hold up in that kids don't know what that means. What are you talking about? Shere Khan calls Baloo fat basically every time he refers to him. The writers of this movie really hate fat people. They use fat as an insult constantly. It's very annoying. And it also just holds up because it's very bad. Holds up badly because it's bad. Was there anything with the 1994 movie that stood out to y'all? Kind of mentioned a little bit already about, you know, I'm not sure exactly how the kind of racial politics, for lack of a better term, hold up. I'm not the best person to make that judge. I wasn't offended, but I'm white, so, you know.
Yeah, with that, it always feels like there's phases of other cultures that the U.S. likes to incorporate into media. And so with this one, and it felt like it was at the time with, like, A Little Princess, where there was, like, Indian culture being in movies and things like that.
Was that also the 90s?
I think so. But maybe it's just the stories. Like, it's not the time. It's the stories that they're doing. Another thing that also that I think of is of the phase is Native American culture in, like, Star Trek. Was it Voyager? And Chuck Norris... Texas Ranger, whatever, Walker Texas Ranger, that one. It just...
The 90s was a time.
Yeah, you look back and you're like, this is weird.
Yeah.
So, but it's, you know, it's Jungle Book, this is the story, so it's not like something that you can pull out of it.
otherwise, on what might not hold up, you know, maybe sort of for some people it is the CG not quite holding up as well. But like we said earlier, I think it gives it a charm. If you don't have a problem with it, then yeah, I would say watch it.
Let's go on to our
spoiler alert.
Like we mentioned, we don't have spoilers for Mowgli's story. But spoiler alert for the 1994 one is that Mom managed to call that Ka was going to return and yeah. be William's part of William's death. So
yeah,
because Ka. So early on in the movie, Mowgli, you know, has to get his bracelet back from King Louie, and then he's in the treasure pit, basically, and Ka slithers out, and he has to fight Ka, mostly in the water, and stabs, and, like, blood comes out of Ka, so we kind of
assumed
that Ka was dead, but no, Ka is still alive and comes back to get William, who has clipped a backpack with a bunch of gold on himself, and then when he falls in the water and is weighed down by it, has a hard time getting it off, and then is attacked by a snake and dies, so.
Yeah.
Buldeo also dies before that, because he's shot in the leg, he has a hard time getting out of a pit that fills with sand, and doesn't. And it's, like, slowly, like, the ceiling's, like, lowering on top of him. And he doesn't make it out.
Yeah, so again, man,
but you know who does make it out?
Yes! Baloo
which does Mom also, die. Which Mom also picked up is that there's, before we kind of, I think before most of them start dying or whatever, but after Baloo was shot, after Mowgli kind of rescues the doctor at one point, and asks him to go help save a life. And I wasn't, like, sure what that meant, but Mom realized that that meant Baloo. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I think you're right. And so we were like, okay, hopefully Baloo comes back. And yes, Baloo is alive. Yay.
Yes. I just would have been so crushed. Oh, I would have been so crushed.
All the bad guys die, and Mowgli and Kitty are together, and all the animals are alive, and that's the end. It was good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to say, though, where they'll end up. They keep that ambiguous.
Yes.
Whether she'll stay with him or he'll go, you know, live in the town, which it feels like he will stay in the jungle regardless. Because one of the things was, I expected Shere Khan to defeat William or, like, be a part of his death. But no, Shere Khan is the king of the jungle. We really hadn't mentioned it, but it feels like in this film he is like an arbiter of the jungle law. Like, he goes after, in the beginning, the three guys who broke the law, and in this film he's going after the guys who are looking for the treasure, and when he goes to confront Mowgli stands up to him to protect Kitty. Oh, that was an awkward frame too that I wasn't about, where she, in this confrontation, they shift Mowgli to the side and make sure that Kitty's face is also in frame in a way that was...
Oh, there's like a gap between them.
Yeah, it was awkward to me. But, you know, it harkens back to something he said when he was a kid, that he is half king of the jungle or half something. In his dream, somebody told him that once he stands up to Shere Khan, he'll be like a full whatever. I don't remember. But he does. He stands up to Shere Khan. They are recognized as equals. So it feels like Mowgli has to stay in the jungle to me.
The other thing I really appreciated in that scene, they had Shere Khan sit down. And I was like, don't let Mowgli pet him. Don't let him hug him. Don't let him pet him. Because that would have just taken away from that, I don't know, that power and that whatever of, to me, of Shere Khan.
I mean, I knew they weren't going to, because they literally weren't actually in the same shot together. It was composited. Mm. And I was like, that'd probably be too much work. And also, yeah, I think thematically,
yeah,
that's not where we're going.
Really bad. Yeah. But yeah. So instead he just kind of backed off, and they both still kind of eyed each other with that mutual respect. And that was fine. That was fine.
Any other spoiler stuff?
I don't know. Spoilers. The other movie was bad.
Yeah. Let's go on to our favorites and least favorites. What was your least favorite movie? It was the 1994 yes. Mowgli story.
Mowgli story's bad.
And there's nothing I can break apart in there, because there's no fate, you know. I don't know, the boy that...
What was your least favorite scene in the good movie?
Okay.
I think the scene that I just mentioned in spoilers...
Sure, with the awkward camera shot?
Yes, like...
Sure.
I can kind of see what they're trying to do, but it didn't work for me.
I'm going to say... it was when John Cleese was in the ballroom and talked about all the bare necessities of life.
Yeah.
Stop it. Quit it. You can't say song lyrics at me. Stop it. But I mean, yeah, in all seriousness, I don't know. Nothing super stands out to me. I enjoyed it, so.
Yeah, and I'm going to agree with Valerie in the spoiler scene where the composite, yeah, I could have done without that. It was the shot composition. The shot composition, yes. It would have been more powerful if they did it a different way, I think.
What was your favorite scene in the movie? We're only talking about the good movie. You just have to accept this. It's too tiring to talk. Yeah. We'll rate the bad one, but we don't have favorite and least favorite in that. It's just bad, okay? Yeah. You'd have to trust us on this. I'm sorry if you're disappointed. But we finished the first one and we're like, we could just make a... I think Valerie was like, we could just go record about this. This feels like the only one we need to watch. And I was like, no, we got to try to watch this one. And within like 3 or 4 minutes, we were like, oh, this is bad.
Yes.
And then we had to watch almost all the rest of it. I pushed skip forward a handful of times. But we basically watched it all. Anyways, favorite scene in the 1994 Jungle Book. I think I like the chase scene through the town. I like town scenes and stuff. So I had fun with him having to run through this place that's full of people. And then the various people kind of helping him along the way. I really like that part.
I think mine might. I really do like that part, too. I think mine might even be at the very the beginning when they were in the caravan and little Mowgli stopped the elephant from being out of control and just some of those scenes, you know, with he and his father, like him seeing his father hand a flower and just those kind of little snippets. Really endearing and powerful to me.
Yeah, this one's hard because there was a lot of good stuff. It was just an enjoyable film. I think I'll pick just my favorite moment when Mowgli first re-met Kitty when she was older. And to impress her, he starts to fight a bear and it's just Baloo. And just us knowing is like, oh, you're just totally playing this up to impress her in a way that was just very silly. Yeah, I'll say that.
Who was your least favorite character? I'll say the guy who died in quicksand.
Sure.
And also got kicked in the nads two or three times. Yeah. I didn't like that guy. He sucks. But he's dead now, so.
Yeah.
He was fine. I just, I gotta pick somebody.
He was fine. I like to agree with that, and I also like to bring up that films from this time gave a disproportionate sense of danger that quicksand would pose.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. This is one of the contributors to that.
Yeah, because I know. I just learned that from Annalise, the real story with quicksand. I'm going to agree with that guy, because that guy. Because, to me, he was just your typical ick guy.
He's a rude dude.
Yeah, you just don't like,
Who was your favorite character? Mowgli.
Yes, Mowgli for me.
Jason Scott Lee does a great job. He's so endearing. I'm rooting for him the whole time. Love him.
Yes, I'll agree with Mowgli. And I will say, like you said, Cary Elwes does a great job as a bad guy.
Definitely.
Smarmy, and you're like, oh man, you suck. And what he says and how he's so nonchalant about people dying.
Yeah. No, he's the real monster.
Yeah.
And also Lena Headey. Lena Headey is also great as Kitty in here.
Yes.
I think Kitty and Mowgli have really good chemistry together, which is important if you want to have a love subplot. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, hearing the story, the type of stories that they wanted is interesting. It's like, oh, you're not going to do just a remake of it? It's like, well, I mean, as a structured story, I don't think it would work. Mm-hmm. And then it's like teen teen romance? Ugh. No thanks.
If Tim Curry were in both of these movies, where would we put him? In the second one, I'm going to say Shere Khan. Shere Khan would still suck in that movie, but yeah. I'd be happy every time I heard Tim Curry talking.
I will agree.
I think he'd be, I don't know if I'd be happy, but I mean, he fit. Just the function of Shere Khan in both films was just so different. But Tim Curry as like direct antagonist. Yeah, sure.
And in the 1994 one, honestly, it feels like the best place that he'd go is where Cary Elwes is. And I don't really want to replace him. So
no, I would say the Doctor would be.
Yeah, he could do that. Let's do that. So then it's not John Cleese. Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Yeah, I can live with that.
All right, let's go on to our overall consensus and what we would rate it. Both of them. We do have to rate both of them.
Yeah, I definitely recommend the first one, 1994 Jungle Book. I found some of the dated effects a bit charming. I don't even know if it was necessarily bad or good for the time, but I don't mind it. I think the casting was good. All the main characters are engaging, doing what they need to do. Like you said, we're rooting for Mowgli. I don't mind at all that it is not a remake of the original Disney Jungle Book. I guess we'll see how that is, but I think as just a story, it holds up. So if you're expecting a remake, I don't know. I think you should still watch it, just keep an open mind. As for Mowgli's story, it's not enjoyable, at least for people over the age of 12.
Yeah.
At best.
it's for little kids. I could see a little kid enjoying it being like, oh, animals and stuff, but funny voices.
Yeah, but I wouldn't show it to your kid in case they want you to watch it a lot.
True.
And put it on the television and you'd probably be upset.
Just have to make sure that you are not paying any, you're entertained by your own stuff while that's on, because you don't want to have to deal with it.
So, and there's nothing new or interesting. I don't like how the characters then function. So I don't recommend Mowgli's story. For 1994 Jungle Book, I will give it a 4. I enjoyed it. I'd be happy to watch it again. And for Mowgli's story, I don't know, like 0.75. The kid acting, it's actually pretty good. But everything else is whatever. So,
I agree with you, Valerie, with what you said. I absolutely enjoyed the 1994 Jungle Book. I absolutely recommend it. Just so enjoyable. And I'm also going to give it a 4 for the rating. And then I do not recommend the Mowgli story. And I think I'll also go with the 0.75. Just the only thing that was well done was that young actor.
Samesies on all counts. 4 for 1994's Jungle Book and 0.75 for Mowgli's story. Don't watch the second one, please. You owe it to yourself to do something more fun with your time. And please watch. Like, I think no one talks about the 1994 Jungle Book. I'm not saying it's like the best movie of all time. Maybe you think it's more of like a 3-star movie. I don't know. But like,
it is.
I think it's enjoyable. It's so I think it's enjoyable. Got a lot of heart and a lot of charm.
I wonder if it's just we don't have a lot of. Well, I mean, it's not like we watch a ton of movies in theaters anyway, but like this type of movie feels less and less common.
Yeah.
So it's hitting that like mid-90s, 2000, just those like romantic, mid-budget.
Yeah.
Stories. And they're nice, actually.
Yeah, they are.
Like, sure, it's a little long, but it's not heavy or it's not bombastic. It is a good film to watch.
And you know, if it's too long for you, just pause it in the middle, go get a snack, and then come back. Like, you know, make your own intermission in there. It's fine. Thank you all very much for listening.
Thank you. And please join me on any Wednesday at 7 p.m. Join Nana Critter, NanaCritter, on Twitch. I am playing Final Fantasy IX. My wonderful daughter and daughter-in-law join me in the chat. And even I even have other children joining me in the chat now. Don't know if they want a shout out, so I'll have to ask. But yeah, just lots of fun. It's getting really good. Think I am getting close to some big, major character boss battles. So yeah, join Nana Critter at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays.
And next time, we will be finishing up our Jungle Book journey with the 2016 live-action remake. We get to compare it against a trash fire and a great film. So let's see how that ends up holding up.
Yeah.
Join us then. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Love y'all. Bye.
This has been How's It Hold Up with Danica Juarez and Jan James. You can find our podcast on Twitter at How's It Hold Up Pod. That's with each word capitalized and no apostrophe. Also, if you'd like to support us, we have a Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/user?u=2790566. Every little bit helps, and even with a minimum pledge, you get access to things you won't hear in our main podcast feed. Check it out for more info. The two pieces of music used in this episode were created by Kevin MacLeod. You can find both The Curtain Rises and Cool Cats at incomptech.com. That's incomptech.com. Both songs were licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. More info on that can be found at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0. Thanks for listening!